And we're joined now on The Hard Shoulder by former President of Ireland and member of the Elders, Mary Robinson. Good evening to you and thank you very, very much for joining us. Can we start by talking about the attacks by the United States and Israel on Iran? You've described them as an illegal breach of international law.
Yes, the Elders are very concerned that the attacks by United States and Israel were, of course, illegal because they were not justified under the UN Charter, particularly under Article 51, which allows, in certain circumstances, for self-defense, which don't apply here. So it's an aggressive, illegal attack. But what worries us is there are double standards. When Russia attacked Ukraine, rightly, it was heavily condemned by Western countries. But we don't hear that in the same explicit, clear way for the attacks by the United States and Israel on Iran. And that undermines rule of law. It means rule of law applies only to small countries that don't have power. It doesn't apply to big countries. And it is particularly bad because it's undermining in the Middle East itself and in the global South. And that's not to say at all that the Elders don't condemn the regime in Iran. Of course we do. It's a very repressive regime. It's been horrible over the years. And in fact, a fact-finding report of the Human Rights Council recently said that Iran could be committing crimes against humanity in the repressive regime that it has. But you don't go in a military illegal attack to try and end something like that.
Okay. And Mary, can I ask you, though, and I appreciate everything you're saying, but what about people who say, well, exactly as you say, it was a very repressive regime, and I don't think for a moment that the US and Israel went in there for altruistic reasons, but that multilateralism, this is a narrative that comes very often from the Trump administration, that multilateralism is failing. It's failing to act to deal with repressive regimes like Iran. It's failing to act when we hear of thousands of protesters in Iran being killed by the regime and gender apartheid and all the things that we know are happening. Indeed, the UN congratulated the Iranian regime on 40 years of rule. There is a double standard in that, surely, too. If multilateralism is failing, do we just shrug and wring our hands?
Well, multilateralism is undermined when countries don't observe rule of law, because the rule of law was one of the great achievements. Rule of law meant we would not have rule of power. Now we have rule of power. Mm. Does that make it safe for the world? Aggressive power by those who have power? Invading other countries or making military attacks that are contrary to the UN Charter. This is not the way forward. And of course, there is a need to address repressive regimes, but there are ways of doing that. The truth is that, countries need to pay more attention to the human rights obligations that they undertook in voluntary treaties. And this is not being observed enough, which is why we're in the kind of sense of a multilateral system that is more fragile. It is more fragile because it's got bad leadership in certain countries undermining rule of law. But at the same time, we see multilateral negotiations going on all kinds of things. I mean, last year we had the High Seas Treaty, which is enormously important. We had the Treaty on Pandemics, which again is really very important. Countries have not followed the United States out of the Climate Treaty. There's a tendency to try to talk down multilateralism. Mm-hmm. Multilateral system, but actually it's what protects us, what brings about peace between nations. We must guard it.
You mentioned the difference in response of the international community to the Russian invasion of Ukraine as opposed to the US and Israeli attacks on Iran. What do you make of the international community's response to the current situation in the Middle East?
Well, it shows that countries are not as concerned about maintaining the gains we had over a long number of years in building up rule of law and the institutions that preserve it. For example, like the International Criminal Court, which is under attack, or the International Court of Justice. These are extraordinarily important gains for humanity, and they can be undermined. And there is you know, a sort of populist money-led campaign to seek to undermine them, to seek to undermine liberal democracies at the moment. Liberal democracies in Europe are being attacked by support for very far-right parties. And we know where that's coming from. It's coming from white billionaires in the United States who want a white racist Christian nationalism, which the Trump administration also seems to be embracing. I mean, these are worrying times, and we need to know how important it is to defend our institutions.
And what about the old alliances? And I'm not talking about specifically NATO or anything, but that one of the reasons that maybe Europe, for example, might respond differently to a Russian invasion on European soil or to a US and Israeli-led series of attacks in the Middle East is to do with, I suppose, in part, Europeans' fears around Russian imperialism, but also to do with those old alliances that are long-standing between, say, America and the EU, that, you know, my friend's enemy is my enemy's enemy is my friend, those types of things. Do you see any justification for the way European countries are behaving insofar as that America remains, if a somewhat mercurial ally, an ally of sorts nonetheless?
I see something similar to the failure to condemn the war in Iraq. When President Bush invaded Iraq, that was illegal, and very few stood up then, but more stood up. I mean, France stood up and other countries. And there is some evidence now, and Spain, notably among the European Union countries, has made it very clear that we will not support this war because it is illegal. Others are not supporting for kind of reasons that are trying to avoid the bullying of the Trump administration. There's a fear factor here. But the war in Iraq was very destructive of international law. It promoted double standards and therefore promoted more inclination of countries to feel that they can do what they want, you know, that rules of law don't apply. That's the point, the essential point the elders are making.
And maybe lastly, what do you believe needs to be done now in terms of establishing peace? Because obviously we're hearing very contradictory rhetoric from the US and Iran. The US says that they're in, you know, productive negotiations. Iran says, no, we're not. And in fact, that narrative is only being put out there to give the US a sort of an excuse not to act on their own threats. What do you make of all of that we're seeing? And indeed, what do you think needs to happen now, I suppose, to de-escalate this situation?
Yeah, we do see efforts at diplomacy by countries that are really terribly affected. Pakistan, for example, a poor country, absolutely needs the energy and is desperate. And, you know, food prices and everything else are going up. And other countries, particularly in Asia, are desperate. And, of course, the region itself, the countries that are being attacked by Iran as part of a tactic of broadening the war to countries that house some US military, but attacking some of their civilian infrastructure, etc. All of this needs to come to an end. It's hard to judge how serious President Trump is at any point, and what he says about the 5-day break from his threat to attack the energy infrastructure, which itself would be illegal, attacking civilian infrastructure like energy that affects so many poor people in a country. That's illegal anyway. But the trouble, I think, is that twice when Iran was negotiating, and certainly this second time, the elders are aware, and there has been evidence that Iran had actually put something substantive on the table for negotiation. And then instead of negotiating, the Israelis attacked first and the US followed. So how to build the trust again? How to get negotiations?
But do you see any obvious, and maybe obvious is the wrong word, but do you see any realistic off-ramp here?
Well, I see the need for an off-ramp desperately, because energy prices going up, food prices going up, that affects the poorest most severely. So insofar as there are efforts, and there are efforts by different countries in the Middle East and by Pakistan, as I said, offering to be a venue for such discussions. But the problem is it's not clear at all that Israel wants to end, because it hasn't achieved its aims, and it's not clear what President Trump is intending, because he changes his mind from time to time, to say the least.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that. That is former President of Ireland and member of the Elders, Mary Robinson.